Or tape CDs.
This is from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Men's Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, October the 18th, 2015. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of the service teaching on The Power of Reckoning, part number 2 of the 2-part series.
I want to say first that we didn't know no man after the flesh. They say we knew Christ after the flesh, but henceforth or from here on, we know no man after the flesh. It's very important. It's very important that you don't know your wife after the flesh, or your children after the flesh, or anyone after the flesh. That's where trouble comes in. That's where difficulties come, when we know someone after the flesh. I pastor a church in Northeast Texas, been there a little over 37 years. Went there when I took the church. I didn't want to take the church. I sit there like this, you know, and see if you can move me. Didn't have a piano player. There's for our 7 years, I pastored two churches. The other one, they couldn't get a pastor, and we drove 23 miles, and finally thought we found the pastor, and he came and preached to him, going to bring some people and a piano player. And the piano player backed on him, out on him, and he called me and said, "Well, I'm not going to come. You know, you can't have church without a piano player." And I thought, "Well, that's interesting. Tell that to Jesus and tell that to them on the day of Pentecost and whatever." So I've been through all that. But I tell you this about anything. Three fires that totally destroyed buildings. On the second one, I thought that's the last one. It wasn't. Praise God. But God's always been faithful. Seen a lot of things, made a lot of mistakes. When we went there, the bathroom was out by the back fence with the wall spray and the lime. Some of you don't know what the lime's for. And we actually sold that to someone who's going to use it. Didn't have any water, running water, air conditioning, and insulation. My parents came and visited and said, "Well, this is nice. We hope you hurry up and get a real church." And so that's really encouraging. We lived somewhere else for 2 years, couldn't find a place there. And when I was moving, the Lord warned me that if I moved there, I'd stay there. So that's where I'm at. And I'm thankful. Oh, I love it. There's nothing more wonderful than to be in the will of God.
Amen.
It doesn't, it's not about the size of your church or the finances or, it's none of that, folks. It's being in the will of God. If it's sitting, if it's like Elijah sitting by the brook Cherith and a raven feeding you, it's a wonderful place to be in the will of God. And I tell you, men die when they're not in the will of God. And I don't choose where to be. He chooses. And so praise God. Just like Brother Merrill, God chose you. And you sweet ladies back there, God chose you. And Kevin and Sandy, I don't know where she's at. And Rick back there cooking our food. Y'all thank that man. That's a good man back there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, that's all that. Now, this is part 2 of the Power of Reckoning. And I want to say first, right off, I want to say this. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm not railing on anyone. I'm not trying to defend anyone. That's not my purpose. You're precious men in God's sight. We just don't know how much God loves us. He loves men, praise God, with a perfect, pure love. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And you know, men sometimes just need someone to take them in their arms and hold them, and He'll do that. He'll do that. He'll love you when nobody loves you, or you think nobody loves you. He'll love you. Praise God. When your wife's mad at you, your kids are mad, everybody else is mad, your boss is mad at you, he'll love you. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. But truth is truth. And hallelujah. Well, Lord, we ask your help, your anointing, your blessing, that you'll speak to our hearts this morning, Father. Because if you don't speak to our hearts, this is all just a waste, Father. God, speak to our hearts. Speak to every man's heart in here. Encourage, Father. Give strength, Father, for the battles ahead. Lord, I thank you that I'm a man. I thank you that you made me a man, Lord. And I'm comfortable in that. I thank you for it. Praise God. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans 7:21. I find in the law, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, I want to say this. I believe that the Word of God is inspired. And he spoke through holy men. And they wrote what he spoke to them. The Holy Spirit wrote. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible, whether it's on a tablet like this or on your computer or in it's printed. The Holy Spirit wrote that. And it takes the Holy Spirit to understand it because it's a locked book. The book is locked. As we heard earlier in this meeting, it's the letter kills, the spirit makes alive. And when you get into the Greek and the customs of the time and what they wore and all this, you know, that's the letter. And that kills. But the spirit makes alive. So he says, I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Have you found that out? Two things were present with Paul. The will to do good was present, but also evil was present. It will be. This last week, I believe, and it just really came to a head, and I was praying, and while I'm praying in the Spirit, my flesh is lusting for something. I said, now, why? You know, why is it not supposed to be? But it is. And because there's two of you. There's two. And David Wilkerson wrote a book I read years ago called Two of Me. And thank God somebody explained that. I read that to you. There's two of you. And that's why there was a lady in our church that backslid. First her husband did, then she did. And she went back on God. And I saw her in the grocery store and I thought, well, she just going to be so sad and so down and what? She is laughing and having a good time. And I thought, that's not right. I'm going to go punch her or something. You know, she's not supposed to be having a good time. Why was she? Why was it that way? Because the conflict. For a time, the conflict was over. She's tired of struggling. She's tired of, you know, one lady told me one time in the church, she said, well, I just feel like a pawn on the chessboard. Well, praise God, I'm his pawn. You know, move me where you want to move me. And but the struggle was over. Of course, in time it came back. And you know, that lady's been back in our church for years. I even forgot what her voice sounded like. She called one Wednesday, this lady called and said, what time of service? And I told her, and she said, well, I'll be there. And I didn't know who it was. And she showed up, and then I knew who it was. And she got right with God that night. She said, God told me if I don't come tonight and get right with him, it's over with for me. Amen. And she's been there ever since and stuck in there. And she's a powerhouse for God. Amen. She's one of the ladies that helped with the prayer, you know, on the prayer team. And God speaks to her. So don't give up on anybody. Praise God, even yourself. Don't give up on yourself, praise God. There were two things, and he had the will to do what was right. He had the will, but he couldn't find the strength to perform the right thing. That's where it's at. It's like the lame man at the gate. It's for me to understand, you know, he received strength in his feet, you know, his ankles. He received strength, and he was able to stand up, run, leap, you know, and we need strength, praise God. And so, but he couldn't find the strength. And we ought to be praying for strength all the time, strength. Now we see that a struggle, even a war between good and evil, goes on inside of us. Are you tired of that? Do you get tired and think, well, I'm just going to give up? I'm tired of struggling? Well, don't give up. Praise God. It's a struggle. It's a fight. It's a good fight of faith. It's a warfare. And it's in here first. It's here, and it's here, it's going on here, even, look, you don't believe, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane is having a battle, a fight, a struggle. He said, Father, if it's possible, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He's struggling. And then he's on the cross. Is it over with? No, it's not over. My God, why have you forsaken me? Mm-hmm. It's a struggle, folks. But he was tempted in all points as such as we are, yet without sin. And we can make it, praise God. And be not weary, well doing, for in due season you'll reap if you faint not. Right. Stay in there, keep fighting it, praise God. Look, fighting something is not the same as doing the thing that you're fighting against. Now, so we see a struggle, and it's between good and evil. It goes on inside of us, and therefore we must fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. 1 Timothy 6:12. So many do religious things, but yet they fail to lay hold on eternal life. I tell you, if they don't, they're not going to make it. You and I, we don't lay hold on eternal life. If we don't lay hold on eternal life, praise God, get a grip on it and don't let go. Now, verse 22, 23, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members. Have you seen that? There's another law in your members. Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Now, the Apostle Paul is a repentant man. Born again of the Spirit of God, he knows that the life, Spirit of life in Christ is dwelling in his inner man, causing him to delight in doing the will of God. He knows that. But he's also discovered that something besides the Holy Spirit is dwelling in him. Something else is dwelling there. Galatians 5:17 says, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. So that you cannot do the things that you want to do or that you would do. You can't do it. You can, but he can through you and through me. So we have the two laws within us warring against each other. The law of our renewed mind, Romans 12:2, and the law of sin. Those two things, those two laws are operating. They're warring against each other. Now the unrepentant, and I need to say sometimes you fail. Sometimes it's a lost battle. And so what do you do? Well, what must we do? The most important thing we'll ever do is what we do after we fail God. And that's to repent. Dust yourself off, get up, and go forth in the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Now, I say we may have. We may have the two laws. Because only the repentant, born-again believer has these two laws operating within him. That's why the lady, after she backslid, went back on God, she's happy. The war is over for a while. The war is over. But when you get saved, the war starts. Some people actually say, you know, I know it'd be like this. It's easier when I wasn't trying to serve God. And it was easier. In a sense, it was easier. The unrepentant carnal person has only the law of evil operating within him or her, because their spirit is dead in trespasses and sin. Now, they're dead. And why do we say that Paul has only now discovered that the law of sin and death is dwelling within him? Why does he only see it now? It's because he and we were spiritually blind. We were blind. Our spiritual eyes weren't open yet. Our eyes of understanding. Sin was still dwelling in Paul's flesh. And it's still dwelling in you, your flesh, and in my flesh. It's still there. And it always will dwell within us. And I'm sorry, but I will say, you can stand in all the prayer lines you want. But it's still going to be there. I've seen people get so blessed in church. Oh, my. It's a wonder they didn't just get raptured. Man, they mess up and fail before they get out the back door. Somebody done said something to them, made them mad. The kids acted crazy or something happened. Somebody didn't shake their hand. Brother Clinton was telling about a man always used to sit on the front pew of his church, a great big church, four rows of pews in a balcony. But that night he's sitting on the back. And so he noticed that. You know, a pastor notices these things. And he asked the guy, I said, why are you doing on the back? He said, well, you didn't shake my hand this morning. About 800 people there, but you didn't shake my hand. He said, well, brother, you didn't shake my hand. You know? You didn't shake my hand. Oh, my God. I've been sometimes people. It's, I've come across that a lot of times, you know. I see them standing back there because I don't run back. I don't do the politicking thing, if y'all don't tell you what that is. You go in the pastor while they're doing the dismissal prayer, you hear these footsteps. You run back to the back door so you can shake everybody's hand. You know, come back next Sunday. We're glad you're here, you know. You try to talk to them, they just keep you moving along. They know how to do that. They, you know, and totally inaccessible. You know, you're just not. I was assistant pastor, one pastor, and I'd call him. And I mean, there was a real problem he needed to deal with. And his wife said, now, is it that serious? Do you really need to talk to him? Well, why do you think I'm calling, you know? But praise God. So when the service is over, I stay right there on the platform. That's where I stay. Sometimes I move down below where I'm standing. You want to come talk, here I am. But they have to wait because, first of all, the kids are up there. I mean, all got to run up there and hug me, you know, and all this, bring the offering to me or something, you know. And then the adults can have their chance. And I'll stay there as long as you – I've seen pastors duck out the back door. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not going to talk to them. And this one great big church in Dallas, Assembly God Church, went for its dedication. That's the one where – well, Jimmy Swaggart was there for the dedication. And the pastor said, I feel like some awesome's going to happen tonight. The only awesome thing happened was their electric curtains when it was, you know, and there's a big choir behind it. Oh, that's impressive. But when he drove up there, a garage door opened. He pulled in, and he had secret passageways, and you don't touch that man. You don't talk to that man. I was hearing someone tell about that. The pastor would, they have people come forward, want to join the church, great big line of people. He'd go by and shake their hand and the board members. And then after he got through, he went up on the platform, he had a bottle of Purell, you know, and I'm back to his squeeze it off his, and clean his hands off after shaking those nasty people's hands. That's good. That's kind of dumb to do it in front of your church, you know. But we go under the bridges there in downtown Dallas, South Dallas, and where the homeless people live. And we were there, time before last we were there, and I was praying for people, and I laid hands on this lady, and you just don't know what's crawling on the over whatever. I'm laying hands on praying for her. She grabbed my arms, my hands, she's going up down my arms with her hands, you know, and God's touching her though, and it came to me after, well, I sure wish I had some antibacterial to rub on my arms and my hands. But I didn't. Praise God. Hallelujah to Jesus. The last time we went, I felt impressed to pray for the people, and they were shorthanded. We're helping another group, and they take care of the food, and we bring hygiene, you know, items for them. And one assistant pastor, myself, and then two teenage boys, one of them was his. We had to go there. We helped them get the food ready, and I cannot tell you how blessed I got standing there handing food to those people. And smile at them, and if it's a man, I say, thank you, sir. You know, and I can't tell you how long has it been since anybody called him sir. And bless you, you know, oh, it's glory to God, you know, it's good. It was really good. We ran out of food, though, and one guy came by, and all we had was some bags of chips and handed them to him. He threw them back at us. He wasn't happy. We was looking for there was a black lady in a wheelchair, and she had asked us for some diapers, so we brought them. And then there's a black gentleman that works there, and he's a really sweet man, and I just wanted to see him. Neither one of them were there. We asked, well, where are they at? They said, well, the lady in the wheelchair stabbed him. And so she's in jail, and he's recovered. Praise God. But maybe they won't be there. We saved the diapers. Praise God. It's a culture under there. You know, it's their own culture. It's different. It's not my world or your world, but it's under there. Well, praise God. Wherever we go to do something for God, I'm telling you folks, to quit, you know what? Quit being so selfish. And think of the world revolves around you. And God give me this, and God give me that, and start thinking about someone else, you know, how you can help someone, what you can do for somebody. And don't, and if you have to, just keep you a bottle of Purell somewhere with you back and wait till nobody's looking, but help them, praise God. Thank you. It's about an hour before I ever got to wash my heart. So, oh, God, just know that he had nothing. Well, I don't know what you'd have done. Praise God. So, some of you didn't wash your hands anyway. You know, it's so disgusting to go in the bathroom and some man comes out of that stall after sitting on the porcelain throne and walks right out. Without, well, ain't that disgusting? What? Your mama didn't teach you very well, you know. Excuse me. Now, didn't teach you so well. Well, praise God. Now, so we see the two laws. Let's get back here. We see the two laws. Now, Paul has just now discovered it. Sin was still dwelling in his flesh. It's in our flesh. We'll never cast the law of sin out of us, nor can we reform it, but by appropriating the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, and I really want to talk about that this morning, we can overcome sin. Mm-hmm. Now, how does Paul know that he's born again? It's because he's no longer willing to sin. No longer, there's not, the desire's not there. He did not get up that morning intended to do something wrong. You know, and there's traps out there. How many know there's traps out there? So you set up. It's a setup, and you know it is. Yeah. And sometimes you'll be watching. Now, when the first little thing happens, watch out. You're being set up. And catch that thing and deal with it because something bigger is coming down. That's just to get you pointed in that direction. The devil's doing that so he can mess with you. And so you watch that. On the way to work, your wife, your kids, something, your wife burnt the eggs or something. Watch out, it's a setup. Or you burnt the eggs, whoever burnt them, praise God, it's a setup. And getting you ready. Now, he's no longer willing to sin, but rather now he delights in the law of God in this inner man. God's doing a redeeming work in Paul. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Now, he never forgot, though, that he was the chief of sinners. He never forgot what he, you know. We forget those things behind, but yet we remember some things. If you are, maybe you're not happy with where you're at this morning, Lord. Maybe you're discouraged about it. But sometimes we need to look back and see how far we've come. How far we have come, praise God. And what God has already done in our life. And, you know, we are preparing for people to come there. At our church, we've got two large buildings we're working on, and sometimes I get so overwhelmed and discouraged. It's just like we're not getting anywhere. But then people will come and visit, hadn't been there in a year, so say, oh, you've got a lot done around here, you know. And I think, well, I didn't think we had anything done, hardly, but thank God for what he has done. And be confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, he said that. And he's got to watch over his work. And he will watch over his work. Praise God. Now, Philippians 2:13, this is so important. For it is God which works in you to both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's where the Apostle Paul got the will. He wills to do what's right, but he finds another law working in there. Now, that he's living in the first part of this scripture. He's willing in his inner man. He said so. Or in his spirit, to do God's good pleasure. But then Paul found that he could not always do God's good pleasure or the will of God. The will was there, but the doing was missing. He couldn't find the strength to do what was right. Does that happen with us? We know what's right. We want to do what's right. Now, if you're one of these people always worried you're doing something wrong, we have that promise in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians is a powerful book. Philippians chapter 3, where it says, if we're doing the wrong thing, then God will reveal it to us. Or if we're thinking wrong, he'll reveal it to us. What an awesome, wonderful promise. And then we have where Jesus said, if you ask for bread, he's not going to give you a stone. And you're asking God to work in your life and to make you in the image of Christ. The only way we'll ever be complete is being the image of Christ. Scripture says we're complete in Christ. Praise God. We have a little store there And I don't know if another church has a store, but we have a store, just a little grocery store for the, God told me to do it coming back from Mexico. And I thought that's the dumbest idea I ever had. And, I'm not even going to tell anybody. Well, it's been open since 2007. But, and he confirmed it, you know, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. We were having our church exterminated, and this man, I never met him before, don't think he'd ever been to Peerless, is just a place. I mean, you know, it's really a little, it used to be a town, but it's not anymore. And, so we're, it had a square and all kinds of stuff. When cotton was king in Texas, you know. And there's a remnants of a cotton gin and some things, but anyway, he was going around and he's talking to me. I'm following him around, make sure he's spraying, you know, doing what he's supposed to. And he turns around and he says to me, "You are open store here." He don't know a thing. He don't know anything. He doesn't know me. But out of his mouth, see, if you're waiting for a prophet with a long beard and everything to come in a white robe, it comes out of a donkey's mouth sometimes, you know. And I'm not calling him a donkey, but God spoke through that man. And then we started working. We had built this building. I thought it'd be part of our school. And our school was very large. And we've had it for 23 years, very small now. And, but because God, we have to understand some ministries are for seasons. And we try to keep some things going when God's moved on somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And we're still back over here and he wanted us over there, whatever. And, it's like Saul, the Lord told him, "How long are you going to mourn over him? See, I've rejected him. I've moved on now. I got some, fill your horn with oil and go. I've got something else or someone else." And, but we built this and we just had the hull there. And then I thought, what? It just started bothering me. And I actually thought I'd just burn it to the ground. I built it. I burned it down, you know. And it's 90 by 20 and then a two-story part. And I thought, I'd just burn that thing down and be through with it. And when the Lord spoke, finally, and we're in there, it took a year to get the front of it ready and open. And we were in there working, no sign or anything, didn't look like a store. And these two Hispanic guys been putting a roof on down the road. You know what's interesting? They were at the same house that I found that exterminator at. I never thought about that before. Isn't that a revelation? That's where I found him down there. I said, "Hey, would you come down here and exterminate our church while you're here?" And but anyway, they came from there and they walked in. And one of them threw his arms and said, "No store!" You know, like, "Where's the store at?" "Okay, Jesus, I'm here. We'll get to work here." And smoke out his mouth, Rupert's mouth. And so we, praise God. I feel a lot freer this morning. Praise God.
Amen.
We got it done, and I don't know if you guys realize what this stuff costs to put in those stores. I mean, we've got thousands of dollars in there, but really, they're in inventory I'm talking about, and we try to keep it stocked well. The Lord told me the store would be a blessing. I thought, well, we're going to make some money here, and we're going to fund missions in the school, and it has never made money 1 week it's been open. It has never paid. It loses money. But God won't tell me to close it. So, and he provides. He does provide. But he said it'd be a blessing. And it hadn't been, I thought, well, this is a burden. It's not a blessing. But people will come in there and they'll turn around and say, "This store is a blessing." Because they don't have to drive 14 miles, you know, to get some milk or something. And, but a lady, we didn't have anything put in it. And a lady friend that her daughter had been connected to our school, and she gave me a check for $200 to me, a gift. And I went and bought $200 worth of stuff and just spread it out, just, you know, one deep all the way around the store. So it looked like we're doing something. Praise God, now it's enough of the store. Praise God. And we also have a little cafe. So you can come eat Joe's, what does he call it, Homo Burgers. They're pretty good. They're pretty good.
Who's doing the cooking?
Joe. His name is Joe. He came to us from Mississippi, down on the coast. He can cook, you know. He's a good guy. I have to be careful what I say on here. Some of my hear this. Thank you, Jesus. Well, something in us is worn, isn't it? It's warned against God's work and it's the will to do his good pleasure. Something within us is bringing forth thoughts that are not pleasing to God. Amen. As I said, I've been praying and cuss words come up. I mean, this keeps cuss words. I'm never cussing. And there's cuss words, you know. Last night I was laid down in the bed and this, I don't know what that was coming in. It was like some kind of half-dream vision and there's people that are weird looking in there. And I realized the devil's trying to make me think this is something God's speaking to me. And I started rebuking those, whatever they were. I did. I told them, hey, you get out of here in the name of Jesus. It's a warfare. It's a warfare. Get out in the name of Jesus. Now, I don't want to see you. And I look back and my life is like the time I was sitting in that lady's house, first church we pastored. And she was over there in the recliner and I had a vision sitting there. A vision. And I saw her as an evil queen sitting on her throne. And I thought that was a devil. And I rebuked it, but it wasn't the devil. And I found out it wasn't the devil. It was everything the Lord showed me. And that woman got me told as a mean woman and single-handedly closed that church. She did. And because I crossed her. I've told y'all about that. She had a big old boy come home from school about 14 years old, lay on the carpet, eat potato chips, and drink Cokes, and watch TV. And his dad's out there working like a slave. And you know what? It was a good thing for me to see because I said, well, if I ever have any sons, they will not lay on the carpet, eat potato chips, and drink a Coke while I'm working. And they will work. And they do. They know how to, all three of my kids know how to work. And one time, my youngest son, we were building sidewalks around there, just me and my boys. And it was hot. And I was trying to get done. The cement truck's coming, and I told Seth, my youngest one, I said, dude, he's great, big, tall. Doesn't look like he belongs to me. Strong. And he threw his hammer down toward me on the ground. Oh, that just wasn't the right thing to do. And I went over there, and I punched him in the chest. Now, not hard. I know, you know, my dad go into rage. I mean, Men, you gotta hold and check yourself, you know.
Right.
Remember how big you are, how small that child. But my dad had gone into rage. And I realized it was possible to happen. And so when I was going to discipline my children, I never hardly ever had to spank my daughter, but my sons, you know. And I decided how many licks is worth with a belt. I used the belt. I think that's very humane. And I did have to bend over that bed, and that God put this back there. That's what that's for. And I said, you put your hand back there, I'll get it too. It's your choice, you know. And I make them be still. And three licks, usually one time, a few times, maybe five, but three. And I'd always hug them and tell them, you know, because I didn't want them to walk out there hating me, because I hated my dad. I hated that man. He left black and blue and purple and yellow marks on me last a week or two. And they didn't have CPS in, or I've been in a false trouble. But you know, I had to forgive him of all that.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want that. And so one time, this same boy said, I took him in there, and the Lord said, don't spank him this time. I didn't beat him. I spanked him. You got to be careful. Your terminology. I spanked him. I was going to, and God said, don't spank him. And I didn't. And you know what? You know what? Praise God. That was the best thing I believe I ever did for that boy. Yeah, I didn't spank him that time. But he's the same way he threw the hammer down at me. And I was, oh, I was mad. And I was just, you got to believe me, I was not punching him hard, but I'm having to look up and watch him. And I let up, he got scared, ran off and hid in the barn. I called him, I said, you need to come up here before I lose it. And it made an impression on him he's never forgot. We're best friends. That son and I are best friends, praise God. And men, let me tell you, if your son is your best friend, you got something that's worth everything. It's awesome, praise God. And if you have sons, I think most of us are a little bit older, but if you have a son, you hug that boy and kiss that boy, because if you don't, he'll be looking for a man later in life to do it. You understand what I'm saying? He'll spend his life looking for that man to love him because his daddy didn't love him. You hear that now?
Yeah.
Praise God. Now, something within us is warring and working in us to will and do is against God's will. It's bringing faults. It's bringing forth works in our place. So now Paul is finding that he's not only failing to think and do the good pleasure of God, but he's a captive to that sin that is working in some member of his flesh. He doesn't tell. He doesn't tell us. And it's none of our business. But the scripture says, look, know no man after the flesh, okay? Even these men that are in this, in the Bible, don't know them after the flesh. But the scripture says that God not only works in us to will, meaning to want or desire to do his good pleasure, but God also works in us to do of his good pleasure. So he's only on the will part right now. He's got the will, but he cannot find the strength to do it. And that's where our problem's at. A will or desire that cannot do is worthless. So, that's why some people get so frustrated and give up, that the will's there, but they can't do it. Over and over and over. Failure, 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 failure. And it's disheartening because you want to do what's right. And the devil takes advantage of that. He says, see, you can't do it. You just give up. Give in. Give up. Don't give in to anything. Never stop confessing it. Never stop confessing that what it is. Never start saying, well, maybe this is okay, or maybe I was made this way, or maybe God created me. Never, or maybe God's just going to let me slide on this. No. Confess that sin and keep on confessing it. He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We have to remember there's two parts there, the forgiveness and the cleansing. Claim them both. Claim them both. God, you said you'd cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, Romans 7:24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I really believe if we don't come to a place where we realize our wretchedness, what would we say? That's a broken and contrite spirit. He will not despise. And the scripture says he's near to those. If I'm praying for people in a prayer line, I thank God, whatever God wants, the Holy Spirit wants to do, if they fall out on the floor, if they shout, if they dance, they take off running or laugh or whatever, that's wonderful. But what I'd rather see, and I believe this is God, I'd rather see a broken and contrite spirit. I'd rather see their shirt wet with tears. I'd rather see that God can do anything with a broken and contrite person. Have you come to a place yet, men, where you're broken and contrite? Where you're a broken man. Not broken in your personality or, you know, your will. Some fathers break their son's will or whatever, and that's not what God's asking you to do. He put that personality in them. But your spirit in here is broken before God and contrite. It's a beautiful thing. You can work with those people. They're not, the rebellion's gone out of them. All that stuff is, it, you know, God can work with that person. A broken and contrite, a wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? So now he's looking for an answer. Who shall deliver me? What is the body of death? Why is it a body of death? Because the soul that sins, it shall die, Ezekiel 18:20. Now, Paul was wretched because he didn't want to sin, or to be controlled by the sin dwelling in his mortal body. But it was happening in spite of his own desire and determination to overcome. Again, Jesus had to fight to the very end. We're going to fight. We're going to fight. We better fight. But it's the Lord through us. Who shall deliver us from the power of sin that dwells in our members? What is the answer the Holy Spirit revealed to Paul for himself and for all of us? Verse 25, I thank God through or by Jesus Christ our Lord. He's the answer to everything. And I want to say to you this morning, folks, I want to tell you, it is Christ living in you is the answer. Because if he's living in you and through you, as I said yesterday, his seed remains in us and we cannot sin. Doesn't that bother you to read that? Or maybe you just avoid reading. Or maybe you didn't know. Maybe a preacher never said, told you about 1 John chapter 3. He that sins is of the devil. Well, you know, you call me a devil or of the devil? Well, that's what the scripture says. He that sins is of the devil. But then he said, if his seed remains in us, we cannot sin. It means what it says. And it wouldn't, he wouldn't say it, the Holy Spirit wouldn't speak that if it was not absolutely, totally possible. You know, one time I preached a message of be you perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Jesus said that, and I preached it. And a lady came down to me after, she didn't like it. She did not like it. because she's having struggles. But that's only through God. You know what? If you're not there yet, if I'm not there yet, and you know, Paul said, I haven't attained yet. He said, I haven't got there yet. If you're not there yet, hold on, believe God. Have faith, just like you have faith for healing, or to pay your car insurance, or whatever. Have faith. Those things will drop off someday. You say, well, what am I going to do until the time they're gone? Well, I'm going to tell you this. Till our last breath, he's still going to be dealing with things in our life. There are things in your life and my life right now, we don't even realize that God has a controversy with them. Are we saved? Yes. Yes. If I fail, if I fall back and look at something I shouldn't, or touch something, does that mean every time we're lost and going to hell? No. It doesn't mean that. Now, I'm not condoning sin or anything. I want you to understand that. But we have to have faith that he is going to do a work in it. He, both the will and the do of his good pleasure. I messed up. I'm going to confess it. I'm going to ask God to forgive me. And that's the thing. If you're really sensitive to God, you love God, and you do wrong, you're going to go through a mourning process over that. You understand what I'm saying? There's going to be a mourning process where you can't seem to touch God. You don't even feel like you're like Adam and Eve. You're hiding from God. It's a very difficult time to go through of that mourning process. And if you don't have it, I'd be worried. If there's no grief over your failure, I'd be worried. But we have to. When did God forgive you? He'd forgive you the moment you confess that thing. But it's still, you've got a mourning process to go through. And then God will bring you through it. And it may take a few days, it may take a few weeks, but it shouldn't take very long. If it does take too long, then the enemy's got him there. He's got it there, and he's messing with you about it. Sorry. Thank God for water.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, now, then the devil didn't like what I was saying. I know y'all talk a lot about Brother Clinton, and if you ever hear one of his messages, you can know why. I'll talk about the man. But he was preaching one time, and I was listening to him preach, and he got tongue-tied and told the devil to get out of his mouth, and I need the devil to get out of my throat. Now, Paul found that Christ is the answer, the only answer. But how is Christ the answer? How is he the answer? We know that. Is the answer just being more determined to do right? Is professing Christ or coming to faith in Christ for salvation the answer? Is victory over sin won by identifying with Christ? And I want to be careful. I know about it. You know, we identify with him. But if you're identifying with Christ and you think that means you can do what you want to, but because of your identification, that everything's okay. No, that's not right. And that's presuming upon God. Hide behind Christ. I'm just, you know, God doesn't see me, he just sees Christ. But I tell you what, the Father can see around his Son and see what you're doing back there. We're not hiding anything. Is learning more information about Jesus the answer? Or attending the discipleship class the answer? Or is grace that excuses our sins, is that the answer to the problem of sinning after salvation? Now we get to chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you have a modern translation, you're missing the last third of that verse. You know that. If you have a modern translation, you can turn to Mark chapter 16. You're missing about a third of that chapter. And praise God. If you want an answer on that, if you know what a Dave's Bible is, he gives the best answer I've ever read on that. What happened to you? You have one, brother. You read what he's got to say. Because it wasn't found in too many copied manuscripts, I think it's two. Then they say it's not inspired. It's not supposed to be in there. But he goes into detail. He says one of them has a space where it should be. And I forget what the other is, but it's very plain. I'm going to tell you why it's left out in a lot of modern Bibles, because it says these signs shall follow them that believe.
Right.
In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues.
Right.
If they lay hands on the sick, they would cup, they drink any dead thing, won't hurt them, and they'll take up serpents, and they don't like that. And he also, he goes on to say, the Holy Ghost says that they went out and God worked with them and confirmed their word with signs following, and they don't like that. Praise God. If they could cut out some other parts, they'd cut that out. And if they can't do that, then they just explain it away. Now, yes, the two laws are operating in the life of a born-again believer who's followed after Christ. The fight is very close, just as the kingdom of God is not outward, but it's inward. The kingdom of God is inward. Therefore, the fight is inward. Okay? If we cannot or will not win the inward fight, then we'll never win the outward fight. We cannot place our weapons for this fight in storage. But we have to be like the men rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem there in the book of Nehemiah. While they worked, they had a tool in one hand and a sword in the other. Ready, all the time, ready. Ready. We've got to be ready. Put on the whole armor of God. Praise God. 2 Timothy 4:2, be instant or ready in season, out of season. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. For with the mind, this is back in chapter 7, with the mind I serve the Lord, Jesus Christ our Lord. So I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, my spirit, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to talk about Christ living in us. Galatians 2:20 says that I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Years ago, God put that on my heart, and I preached on that one verse for weeks and lost most of the church. Absolutely. Everything's okay as long as I tell them how God's going to bless them out of their socks and meet their needs and increase their bank account. You know, that's okay. But when you begin to confront people that they have to quit living their life and let Christ live his life in them and through them, then people don't like that. Men and women, people do not want to give up self-determination. They don't want to give up self-preservation, their selfishness. They want to be in charge. And I want to tell you what salvation is right here, right there. Salvation is you give up yourself and you let God. That's salvation.
Yeah.
You can speak in tongues and do all kinds of things and do miracles. What are they going to say? They're going to knock and say, Lord, Lord, open to us. He said, depart from me. I never knew you work with some iniquity. Why? Why were they working with some? Because they weren't in the image of Christ. And we must be in the image of Christ. The whole thing here, it says we're to grow up in Christ in all things. We're to come to the full measure of Christ. We're to be changed the same image as Christ. That's in Romans chapter 8. We like to quote this verse. He said, for whom he foreknew, that's 27. God makes all things work together for good to them that love him and who call according to his purpose. Okay, that's one. But the next verse is connected for, because it says for, that connects with for whom he knew. He predestined to be conformed to the image of his son that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, what is the good? All things work together for good. You know, my motor blew up on my truck, God's going to give me a new truck. No, you may be walking or bumming around with someone. That's not the good he's talking about. We've made this a material thing. The good is, we find it in verse 30. For whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That's the good that he wants to work in you and me. He has one purpose in you and me. It is the main purpose. In everything you face or I face, we must remember this. He is wanting to conform us to the image of his son. That's what it's all about. If you go through hell in your life, there's a purpose. And that's to conform you to the image of the Son. I've heard people come just so down, so whatever. My life's just hell on earth. That's a terrible, that's an accusation against God, if you stop and look at it. That's like the children of Israel in the wilderness, complaining that God's not doing this, and he's not doing that, and they're so unhappy. Selfish. Just selfish. Jesus said, deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow him. And again, salvation is Christ living in us and through us. And no longer I, it's no longer I've denied myself. You know, the man that said, God blessed him and he had all this stuff and he said, I will tear down my barns and I will build a barns and I. So many people come up in their prayer line, it's all about I, me. Just want to kick them in the chin. You know, this you old selfish thing. How dare you waste our time? You old selfish. You need to get right with God. If you're sitting here this morning, you're full of selfishness and all you whining and murmuring and complaining and you've been dealt a bad hand in life. Oh, you poor thing. What do you think God wants? He wants you to be like his son. Not your idea of his son. Not what you think. He wants you to be in the exact image of Christ.
Amen.
Praise God. He said, as we behold him in the spirit, we're changed into the same image. The same image. From glory to glory, revelation to revelation, even as by the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit. You know, that's all he's doing in you. And if we miss that, we missed it all. If that doesn't happen, we're in trouble. We're finished. Praise God. Well, glory to God. We're not going to be here tomorrow, so I can't do part three. But I think we've said enough. I believe we've said enough. Praise God. Oh, how he loves you and me. But God's looking for one thing, and that's he's looking for his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. If I don't start looking like Jesus and smelling like Jesus and talking like Jesus and thinking like Jesus and doing what he does, I've missed it all. So many have taken this thing, this whole Bible, this program of God, if you want to call it a program, and made it something about themselves. You know, something about ourselves. It's not about us. Never was about us. If you won't deny yourself, if you won't lose your identity, and let his identity come through you, you'll miss the whole thing. You'll not be there. You'll not make it. That's where, you know what? That's where your struggle is. I'm not talking about the struggle, the conflict, the disappointments. I'm so disappointed. Why are you disappointed? Why are you disappointed? Because you didn't get what you wanted. You know, Jesus was teaching. And a man interrupted and said, Lord, make my brother divide the inheritance with me. How stupid. How selfish. Make my brother divide the inheritance with me. That's where their mind's at. Most people, 90% of them sitting on church pew, that's what it's all about. They came there to make their brother divide the inheritance. Or whoever, whatever. That's what it's all about. No, it's not. He told him, he said, man, who made me a judge over those things? You're so out of line. You're just so out of line. You just don't even understand it all. Do you understand? Do I understand this morning what this is about? Do you understand why God made you a man and not a woman? That's the place he wants you. Get that settled, then do you understand why he put you on the job you're on? And quit. My dad spent 35 years wishing he was working somewhere else. We heard it. Please, I'm not putting down my dad. I love my dad. I had to decide to love him. My dad, I don't remember telling any of us three kids he loved us. And somehow, especially my older sister and I, we start telling, we talked to him on the phone and I'd say, I love you, Dad. It took a long time. He finally got it out of his mouth. I love you. And I know he did. He just is the way he's raised, you know. It's just he's raised that way. Forgiving, praise God. He's doing the best he could do. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, I thank you this morning. I think of it as these precious men, Father. Make us godly men. Make us like Jesus. Lord, help us to put our agenda down. And our desires, Father. And our wish list. And put it down. And focus on you this morning. Help us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The government of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto us. Lord, you know these men have responsibilities. Some of them have families and kids, grandkids. Some of them need a job. We're needy people, Lord. But God, what we really need is you. And if we get it right with you, Lord, you work the details out. Praise God, praise God. I'm going to stop telling you this. I grew up with a friend that there in Dallas, went to the same church. And he came, things went south in his life. He was a school teacher in South and West Texas, and he wanted to come back home to East Texas. And so he came back, and he couldn't get hired. He was a little bit too old. And they didn't want to hire him. They didn't want to pay that pay. You know, they want a young one out. My two sons were working in the cabinet shop for 8 or 9 years. In 2008, when the economy crashed, they got fired and kept the kids, you know, and illegals and the kids. I'm just saying that's what they did. And he couldn't find a job. And he had sold his home, and he still had some property, and he got a little portable building, no insulation or no running water, no anything. And he's living in a hammock. And it's that hot summer. It was so bad in Texas. And he'd take some washcloths and get them wet, put them on his chest, and try to cool off and sleep at night. And he came and he'd stand in prayer line. It was God. And God gave me a word for him. I said, "The Lord says you're not going to starve." He got so mad. That's not what he wanted to hear. You know, he wants to hear, "Hey, you're about to get the best job you ever had, or this is going to happen, or that's it." He got so angry. But that's what the Lord said. He said, "You won't starve." He come back later and told me he didn't like that. I'm sorry, I'm just the delivery man. You know, I'm just, that's what God said. And today, he's doing well. He's doing well. Praise God. Still not teaching. He's got a master's degree now. It's praise God. You can stop the conflict. I want to say something. If you shut your mouth and say, "God, what do you want to say to me? And what do you want to do? I'm not going to be in charge anymore. I'm not going to make the plans anymore. I'm going to look to you." You say, "Well, what about my family? What about this? What about that?" Who are we talking about here? We're talking about God. You don't think He can't do that? He made you. He made this universe. Oh, ye of little faith. If you love the Lord, if you love Him more than you do your wife, you'll love your wife better. He said you have to hate father, mother, brother, sister, husband, wife, children, your own life also, or you cannot be my disciple. So just stop all that junk. Give them to God. I know what that's like. My oldest son was dying in the hospital. And I went outside in the parking lot walking around and said, "God, I give him to you. I give him to you." It's hard to say those words. And when I did, it was just, I could feel the release. And then, you know what the Lord said to me? Now you know how Abraham felt, at least a little bit, how Abraham felt. I went back in and that boy was totally well. I mean, just totally well, praise God. And just take him home, praise God. Praise God. Thank you. If you want prayer this morning, if you just come and stand. We don't have Jane here to play, but for the coffee, you want to play some or whatever. It's not that we can't do it without music, but music sure did help Saul. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. If you want prayer, you just come and stand. Let's stand together first. It's not quite time for lunch, and I don't want you to go yet, okay? Praise God. You know, maybe you can pray for these that come. Pray for them, praise God. Anyone want to come? Anyone want prayer? Praise God. Maybe the Lord has a word for you this morning. Hallelujah. One of the ladies here gave me a word this morning, and I thank God she just doesn't know. It was so right on, like she read my mail or something. So right, praise God. You got a good staff. They can come and prophesy to you. Praise God. Thank you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.